if you could talk about Sami, who is the director of Sami. We also have our usual team, Steve Mohapi and Ms. Mapula Kudong, who are provided by the individual institutions or companies and indicate our responses to those. We also have some editorial changes to the bill that we would like to present today as well. The first company was CNM, and they indicated that in Section 3B, which was in the old bill, in the new bill, Section 4B, which talks about industrial development, that we should include a clause for the creation and development of SMMEs, and our response is that the industrial development includes SMMEs, and that will be part of the business of the agency. They also propose that we define the term dispose. The term dispose in the bill is used in its literal meaning, and we propose that the agency will develop a policy on the disposal of assets. The third comment was allowing the agency to also be able to arrange a public-private partnerships. We indicated that the clause that they had referred to was in the initial bill that was, and that the new clause is now 522, and this clause provides for entering into agreements with any persons, and therefore that includes PPPs. The last comment was on the recognition of triple BEE. And an appeal for providing sufficient funding for the agency. We indicate that the agency will function within the framework of government's procurement policy, which recognizes triple BEE, and there's no need to include this in the bill, and we've noted the comment on the funding. The next set of comments were received from the Western Cape, the University of the Western Cape. Primarily, they support the bill. They've also called for, they say that the bill will call for government departments to work collectively in space policies and allow the agency to enter into partnerships with international space agencies to improve or to make it more cost effective, and these were just for noting. The next set of comments were from the South African Astronomical Observatory. Again, there's was support for the bill, and an indication that the bill will provide for facilitating linkages between government departments and the science community. It will promote the rich overlap in skills and technologies between the science communities. And they also indicated that the agency should be given sufficient funding to follow up on this mandate. These comments were for noting. They also requested that we insert the comment space geodesy, and what we propose is that instead of inserting space geodesy, that we rather replace the terms astronomy and space physics with space science and give a definition that indicates that we include all of those different fields. The comments from MACOM were primarily to support the bill, and they indicated that the bill will facilitate the development of world-class aerospace products, and that it will provide for commercial investments in space activities. These were mainly for noting. The DOC did not give a written submission, but during the discussions that followed after the Macomb presentation, they raised the issue of government's position in the development of space transportation, which is primarily the business of Macomb. Not sure what happened to my screen there. What we've indicated is that this will be guided by the space policy, and this policy is being developed in partnership with the DTI, who are responsible for space policy. Should also indicate that South Africa used to have the capability for, or was developing the capability for launching satellites. This is when the facility at the Overberg Test Range was set up. During the transition to the new government, that activity was stopped, and like other activities, for instance, in the nuclear energy that were perceived to be dual-use technology, at that time, South Africa entered into an agreement that we wouldn't develop that technology. I guess in the same way that we are really looking at commitments that were made around nuclear and developing capabilities for refining uranium, for instance, the same thing would have to, those discussions would have to be entered into at, I guess, the highest political level to determine whether South Africa as a country should go back to developing space transportation or not. The comments from CSIR, they also primarily support the bill. They requested that we define the refine the term any space program. Our response is that the term any space program in that clause is qualified in the sense that it refers to any space program in line with the space policy, and therefore that defines the constraints that the agency will operate in. They also requested that we clarify whether the agency will be a funding agency or a coordinating vehicle, and we respond by saying that the agency will perform both functions. In some cases, it will be a funding agency, but it will also primarily be a coordinating agency. They requested that we clarify the role of parties in the space domain. This issue will be addressed in the regulations. It is mainly an operational issue, and once the agency is in place, the minister will pass specific regulations that allow it or that define it, how it operates. The next issue was around clarifying the business model of the agency in terms of the PFMA. Again, we indicate that this is not an issue that needs to be put in the bill, and that the agency will operate subject to the PFMA and therefore will be listed accordingly. This process involves submitting a business case to National Treasury and DPSA, and that has already been done, and through their evaluation processes, they will determine whether the agency will be listed as a Schedule 3A or Schedule 3B entity. In this case, we have proposed to National Treasury and DPSA that the agency be listed as a Schedule 3A. This is primarily because one of the conditions for Schedule 3B is that it has to attract more than 50% of its revenue from other sources. We anticipate that in at least the first 10 years of the agency's operation, that might not be possible. The last comment was putting some wording in the bill that supports the positioning of the agency in the international environment. And we are saying that this is primarily, again, a policy issue, and the agency will function within the how it is determined in the policy. They also requested that we define peaceful use and clarify whether the agency will get involved in defense-related issues. The term peaceful uses is used within the UN context. As we indicated before, there's a UN committee on peaceful uses of outer space. And in this context, the term refers to non-military or non-aggressive activities. they indicated that we needed to check South Africa's position in terms of the conventions on space-related affairs. In previous communication with the Portfolio Committee, we sent an indication of the treaties that South Africa is already a signatory to as far as the space-related issues are concerned. And we are also aware that the DTI and Foreign Affairs are looking at ensuring that we sign some of the treaties that we hadn't signed, and this process has already been started. The next set of comments are from Sunspace. They were proposing that the space strategy should be put on hold until the policy is available, as the strategy is meant to guide or the policy is meant to guide the strategy. We indicate that the draft policy is already available, and this was co-developed with the DTI with very active participation of DST and other government departments. And for this reason, we believe that there is no need to delay the finalization of the strategy. We would like to allow the agency, once it's established, to be able to have a framework in which it operates. They have indicated that there might be overlapping mandates between the space agency and TIA. Our response is that the space industry operates in a highly regulated environment, as we've indicated with for instance, the treaties, the UN treaties that are available, and this is to ensure that countries that are active in space do not also pursue this activity in order to arm themselves with weapons of mass destruction. And therefore, the development of the technology in this sector is generally well managed. For example, in the U.S., they even have a specific regulation on what private companies are allowed to do as far as development of technology, as well as transferring this technology outside the U.S. They have indicated that in Section 4B, they are opinion is that the government should leave industrial development in the hands of the private sector. The specific clause that's been referred to actually states that the agency will support the creation of an environment conducive to industrial development, and this does not in any way suggest a competition with private sector. They were then proposing that Section 5.2C, 1 and 2 be removed from the bill, and responses that these powers are required to allow the agency to function fully and effectively. I will now deal with the comments from Telkom. They were raising the issue of there being a disconnect between what the agency does and what the council does, and the possibility of duplication of mandates. Our response is that through several discussions with the relevant government department, which is DTI in this case, and they are responsible for the Space Council, we have clearly established the boundaries for the functions of the council and the agency. The council's primary responsibility is to regulate space activities, whereas the agency will implement the space program. For example, when we funded the development of the microsatellite, to have the satellite certified for launch, the council had to provide a permit that looks at whether the proper standards were followed in manufacturing the satellite, and therefore allowing the DST to get the satellite launched. And this is really the primary role that the Space Council will play. They were also proposing that we define council. Currently in the bill, there is no reference to the council. If it were used, though, if there was any reference, the definition that would apply would be the same definition that is already in the Space Affairs Act. They were proposing that in Section 4F we consider adding the phrase "achieve the objects contemplated in this Act and the underlying statutes." And our response is that it really is not necessary to add that clause because it is redundant, or the phrase rather. They were also proposing that in Section 5.1e, we also indicate that the agency will function subject to Section 3.2.1 of the Constitution, act in a manner that is consistent with the obligations of the Republic under any applicable international agreement. Again, the agency as a public entity will have to function in accordance with the Constitution. The next comment was a proposal that we improve the clause about the establishment of, or about the companies that the agency will interact with, and the proposal was to establish a company contemplated in Companies Act or its successor in title or in collaboration, and we agree that we can add the clause to the bill, or this new phrasing to the bill. They had also proposed that we add the clause or a phrase, "establish any program in line," or add to the clause, "establish any program in line with national space policy," and they were proposing we add "and in conjunction with the council in respect of." Our response to that is that the programs will be done as indicated in accordance with the national space policy, and as a regulator, having given the example of the microsatellite, the council will always be aware of the programs that the agency embarks on. The next set of comments with The next set of responses are to the comments we received from the written submission from ESCOM. They indicated their support for the bill, and they raised the concern with respect to the amount of control or influence the agency will have over astronomy activities. Our response is that the agency will focus primarily on space-based astronomy or where necessary the interfaces between space-based astronomy and ground-based astronomy. The AGA Act proposes providing measures to advance astronomy, and in this case we'll focus primarily on ground-based astronomy, which is really the only activities, well, primarily the activities that South Africa has been involved in. ESCOM also proposed that we improve Section 81E by adding a clause or adding a phrase that recognizes the work of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And our proposal is that we should consider adding this insertion, and therefore the clause should read where the member has been convicted of an offence in the Republic or elsewhere, other than an offence committed prior to 27 April 1994, associated with a political objective for which amnesty was granted by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. ESCOM has also supported Section 8.3 and Section 12, and this was just for noting. Section 14.8.2, it highlighted the fact that this the functions of the governance committee may create a conflict of interest, as the committee will be appointed by the board, and therefore there is no way that this committee could monitor the performance of the board. Our response is that we remove the whole section that refers to the governance committee. Section or clause 13 refers to the board being in a position to establish committees, and therefore we feel that the governance committee is also covered in there. In terms of the performance of the board, this will be monitored by the Ministry of Science and Technology, as the board will be reporting to the minister. The next set of comments are in response, or the next set of responses are referred to the comments that were submitted by CENTEC. They generally support the bill. They also raised the issue of the role of the AGA bill and this bill, and I guess the response that was given earlier regarding the Telkom comment is still relevant here. They also raised or proposed that Section 51D be changed to read, acquire, disseminate space satellite data for any organ of state, excluding activities which are already undertaken by a public entity in terms of a license or authorization. We, subsequent to the presentation to the committee, we had a meeting with CENTEC last Friday. We then, following that meeting, proposed text to modify this clause to accommodate the inputs. The text that I present to you now is the one that was discussed with CENTEC following the initial text that we sent, and so this was agreed to, and that we change this section to read to acquire, assimilate, and disseminate space satellite data for any organ of state. Such function shall exclude organs of state whose main objectives are to provide electronic services and electronic network services. The last set of proposals are the DST's editorial proposals. And the first one is within the preamble. There was a clause saying to provide for the promotion of youth, and this should actually read as to provide for the promotion and youth. The next one in the preamble, where it says research in astronomy, we propose that this, for consistency, because of the changes that were made in the earlier sections. Therefore,
Okay. Where's your preamble?
Where's that?
Preamble. The preamble you're talking about. Members are paging through many papers here. You can just direct us.
It's the first.
The heading.
Yeah, it's the heading of the paper.
The long title of the paper.
Are you
referring
to the long title?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Now
that's
the name. That's the correct name.
Okay, sir. My apologies. In there we had research in astronomy, and because we've also changed reference to astronomy and space physics in the bill, we therefore propose that research in astronomy be replaced by space science. In the definitions, there's minor corrections. Space mission applications, the definition should read as means the usage and dissemination of data retrieved from spacecraft sensors. And then in the definition for space mission operations, this should read means the day-to-day management of a spacecraft. Section 4D, in addition to human capital development and outreach programs, we propose that we also include infrastructure development. In section 5.2D.2, as we've already indicated, instead of space and astronomy missions, they should be read space science missions. And section 7.6.2, we propose that instead of space science industry, this should read as space science and technology sector. All we had to present. I must just indicate that we also received comments from UCT and SunPacks, but they were just supporting the bill. There were no substantive comments.
Okay, just to clarify on the transitional provision. At the moment, the bill does not have transitional provisions, and we're proposing that before the short title and commencement, that is section 21, that we include transitional provisions, and that's where we're trying to accommodate Centec. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, and thanks for the work that you've put into this matter. The UCT and the one that you've mentioned, you should also have included in your report and presentation, so that you don't discriminate against them by inserting UWC and saying no noted, and the other university and other institution, you don't. Just want to make that amendment. Just on the last point that you're raising, I'll give you members to just about transitional arrangements. Transition from what to what? Transitional arrangement means in the meanwhile. What is the ultimate? And transitional arrangements normally have a time span, a duration. Isn't it, Ms. Lawyer? So, how transitional, can you just explain? And also, you say you had a meeting with Centec. What can you just clarify your understanding of, so that for our own purposes we understand this transition? But we take it that you put your transitional clause to say in the meanwhile.
I think, Chair, in our discussion, what we recognized was the reference the Electronics Communication Act and the CENTEC Act were promulgated prior to us looking at establishing a space agency. And we believe that with the activities that the agency will be undertaking, that we will be creating new capacity and technological capabilities in the country that might warrant that we at some point change how we currently do certain things. And therefore, the transitional arrangements were to allow until we establish a what in science terms we call a steady state of the agency functioning at the same time with other existing entities, that we allow for existing entities to continue to do their work as they are doing at the moment, as if the agency does not exist. And obviously with time we will have to continuously engage those agencies. I think what we need to remember is that the primary objective of this agency is to coordinate space activities. And so that is where the transitional aspect comes in. From what we understand from our discussions with CENTEC, they were concerned that they will have to, when they have to go, for example, negotiate for transponder capacity, that they would have to go through the agency. And we view their activities as primarily service activities, and the agency will do a lot more of higher up the value chain type activities. Rather than providing services. I don't know if I've explained it sufficiently.
You're trying your best. you try your best. I'm just trying to be convinced about what you're saying. In my previous life, I've had to defend CENTEC against very ruthless takeovers. And I intend to do that even now. That's why I'm asking about this transitional thing. But now, which presentation takes precedence? The one in bold in your presentation there, or the one that you've given us initially? Because you've got two. In the matrix, you've given us something else, and in your presentation, you've given us something else. Which one is which?
It's this one, Ted, because after I sent the presentation, we had a discussion with CENTEC over the phone again. And they agreed to this wording. So
the wording B, this one. The one in the presentation.
The wording presentation, yes. Okay. In the presentation, yes.
Let me just check what CENTEC before I go to members. You may come to the microphone.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Chairperson and members of the committee. It is true we had a discussion with the representative from the Department of Science and Technology. And we said to them, we want to see that transitional period, as we have said, what it will say. But the wedding, we didn't have a problem with the wedding. Other than that, they have excluded provide electronic communication services and electronic communications network services, because these are the objectives of CENTEC as they are contained in the Electronic Communications Act of Chairperson. It's electronic communication services, and electronic communications network services. I do not know whether it was an oversight from members of Science and Technology, but that was our arrangement.
No, we don't
have
a
problem.
A small matter. If it's just the wording of communications, it goes. It's a small matter. But what I'm trying to address is, why in a transitional arrangement? If you can also respond to that one. What transition from what to what?
Chairperson, they were just going to discuss it internally and revert to us on the transition. We just didn't know the transition. What was the transition from what to what? That is something that we did not know ourselves.
No, that's fine. I think you guys must confer. The communications is the other one. Addition of communications is what's in the other law. So it's not a matter that we can debate.
Yeah.
But you must just clarify the transition, if you see what I mean. Yes, you must clarify the transition so that we also understand. If we have, because this body is ours now, we've got to take ownership and be able to defend it. But if where I'm sitting, I can't even defend the transition, I can't explain it, then it's a problem that I have. So that matter you have to attend to. Members, I want to give to you as well. I just want to see who else in the previous presenters is here. Telkom, did not make a presentation. CNM, are they here? I saw some CNM. Oh, you've seen the responses? Are you happy? Good. UWC, okay. So noted. Now, you see, one of the other things, Ponto, Ms. Marupi,
yes,
one of the other things that you say is implied in space science is this geodesy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You might want to consider in your definition, including space science, and define it accordingly.
Yes.
So that there is no doubt about the inclusion of all these things.
Yes.
There's just one thing that I thought I must raise with you. Malcolm is not here, DOC is not here, CSIR is not here officially. Oh, Doctor.
Do you mind if I comment about the SAO submission and the space sciences issue? Just to say that it's normal in scientific practice, although you could define space science to include astronomy, it's not normal to do so. It is normal to refer to astronomy and space science collectively.
And you see, you scientists now are confusing. No, it's all right. The point is taken. So, in other words, you'll have to include in space science, take care of this thing as well, so that astronomy is not lost.
Yes, and if you seriously mean astronomy and you want to make that clear, it is actually better to say astronomy and space science, although it is possible to define it. It's better, if you really want to include astronomy, and I suspect that you do, to actually specifically say astronomy and space science. But space science certainly includes geodesy. It ties that one up neatly. Thank you.
You see, the other scientists who were here did not think that geodesy is covered. But it's all right. Let's define. Where do you derive these definitions? Is there any authority that we can look at? Or is it just your scientific knowledge of space science which includes? Or is there any textbook that defines space science?
I can find out for you. I can't tell you off the top of my head. But let me find out for you.
Please do that. And let's see what international precedent does as well, in terms of other definitions. Sorry, I'm just taking over the space here. Over to you now. Comrade Mocha.
Chair, thank you. Chair, I'm still concerned about the issue of a draft policy giving rise to a confirmed strategy, because the strategy would be derived from a policy. The policy is in draft state. It could be in a state of flux, and it could be subject to change, which would need to then change the strategy, which would then need to have an impact on the legislation before us. So we need clarity on where it is in finalization as a policy, and what has held up it being finalized at this point. Don't have clarity on that. Then, on the substance of the presentation itself, on slide 6, we find an appeal for sufficient funding by CNM. Slide 8, plea for adequate funding by FAAO. DOC says a government position in developing space control needs to be clarified. CSIR talks about whether the funding agency or coordinating vehicles and so on. These are institutions and interested and affected parties that one would imagine would be part of the policy and strategy formulation process. They've had the opportunity to respond, but it isn't clear that they have clarity on this new structure, this new entity that's been created, and how it would function if one reads into the concerns that they've raised thus far. CSIR goes further on to say, clarify the business model of the agency in terms of the PSMA. And the issue that we then raise is in the strategy document, page 17 and page 18, you talk about, the department talks about proposed project phasing and indicators, and it goes on to a budget in considering its readiness factors, the financial and human resources. It mentions the targets by 2012 of 350 million rand per annum and 2017 of 500 million rand per annum. Research and development, 420 million by 2012 and by 2017, 1.8 billion rand. And that target for 2012 is 3.8% of government budget appropriations and outlays on research and development. Now, these are sums of money that would make this potentially a bureaucracy, Chair. That's a concern. How do we ensure that the policy, draft spec, the strategy that flows from a draft policy prevents this becoming an unwieldy bureaucracy? Noting that the question asked by CSIR, for example, was, is it a funding or a coordinating agency? And your answer to that was, it has a dual purpose at both. We're looking at specific missions being coordinated by the National Space Agency. But these missions need to be budgeted for individually. So what I'm asking you, are you a project-based organization taking a project management approach? And where is this spelled out? Is it spelled out in the draft policy? Is it confirmed in there? Or does the strategy make it clear? Because I don't think the strategy makes it very clear. We need to know whether this will become just one mammoth organization wanting funding from government, or whether this will be a project-based organization.
There we are.
Oh, I could respond.
Yeah. Unless you still want to think about it, I can.
No, I think I can. In the bill, I think we have indicated that the agency will undertake its work through at least four key things. Firstly, it will allow for or facilitate the development of technologies. It will define space missions. It will operate these missions, and it will also develop applications. The agency will look at developing technology platforms that support the requirements of government for specific data sets. And that is why, in a way, the strategy is written primarily from a utility perspective. How we started the strategy development was to put together an intergovernmental committee and say to them, what is your requirements that you believe space can support? And if you look at the themes that we have in there, that is really derived from the current needs that government has for specific data that it will allow government to operate and function more effectively. After we went through this process, we also allowed for public comments on the strategy, and we took in those inputs as well. So we are primarily looking at allowing for the development of technology platforms. These will be mission specific, so you are not going to look at just doing space for the sake of doing space. If there's an identified gap, and then the agency will put together a specific project to address that gap and see it through all of those phases that I've mentioned. The other issue to raise is that we are not looking at having a huge agency that will do everything within the agency. The mechanisms that we are looking at in terms of implementing the space strategy is to set up things such as centers of competence, researchers, the instruments that DST has already developed that allow for interface between institutions, between organizations, so that we create critical masses where we have, at the moment, very few people doing certain activities. So there is no intention to set up an institution that is the size of DST, for example. You're looking at a small institution, but that uses the capabilities that exist within the National Science System of Innovation to implement its program. So to some extent, I would say it's probably more project-based in that sense, but not small project type thing, but you know, looking at a mission-driven type project. On the issue of the policy and the strategy, I must apologize that I did not send the draft policy, but really there are very few things that you can do within space. I think it really is to some extent a well-defined a sector. When you look at the draft policy, it talks about very broad intent. This is the broad intent, and therefore the strategy takes that broad intent and then focuses it on specific things. And that is why I say, you know, we approached it from what is required, what are the user requirements, and therefore how does space support those user requirements. That is why there is no danger that the policy will end up having huge conflict with the strategy itself. As I said, in the policy, it talks about exactly the same thing developing human capital, developing local industry, improving technological capabilities in the country. It doesn't even make specific mention of which sectors within space science and technology that the country will participate in. So we really don't think that there will be any problem that the policy will change significantly. Where the policy is at the moment, I can perhaps also just take you through the process. The DST is part of the Space Council, and we worked with DTI and other government departments and entities that are represented on the council to develop the policy. And at this stage, the policy was going through internal approval within the DTI, and there are public consultations, workshops planned for the first week of July, for the first week of July to get comments on the policy, and therefore thereafter we will be able to present this policy to, through the DTI, present the policy to cabinet. What we are looking at working with the DTI is actually that we get the policy and the strategy presented at the same time to cabinet. So the idea is that we, so that we are sure that there is no conflict between the two documents, that these get presented at the same time. I hope I've covered all your questions. Yes.
Okay. You're doing fairly well. I'll come back to you. Just take us through this journey. As we speak, there is a draft policy. Technically, a policy vacuum, officially. Ne?
Yes.
Because it's not approved by cabinet. The strategy that is so well written is also not yet approved by cabinet. But cabinet itself has approved the bulk in this vacuum. You see? And you are only going to have your strategy workshops and other things in July. In the meantime, we must approve the bulk. You see the fix that you put us in. Ideally, a bill is embedded or a law into policy, and the strategy is clear and approved. That's what makes lawmaking neater, simpler, easier, and defensible.
Mm-hmm.
But in this minglemus. You see, you must assist us through that. I think it's a matter that we also have to be very clear about, so that we don't become too tentative ourselves in what we're trying to do. That's the one thing. The second thing that I don't think we also need some information on the operations of the Space Council.
Mm-hmm.
There are terms of reference and things like those. If you can just give us something that clarifies what they are doing, so that it's not just something that is an ad hoc type of thing. It's a formal process that is taken seriously. So you just need us to give us something on that. Mr. Mokol asks a very important question about money. The law says in the main the money will have to be appropriated by Parliament, amongst others, okay, and so on. And you've already given figures to say by 2012 we must give you 350 million, and 5 years later, half a billion, okay? I take it that space technology is very expensive technology. It's very expensive toys that Mark Shuttleworth and others are playing with. Now, yes, for our strategic location, we want to participate and so on. But as you know, this competes with others as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this has got to become absolutely defensible. You see? But that, if you say this thing is project-based, that means you've already set a budget, but the project is not yet established. In terms of this is the project and this is what it will cost us.
Mm-hmm.
You see? But you already have a budget. Where did you get the figures from? If you see what I mean? How did you arrive at 350 million in 2012, for instance?
Mm-hmm.
Or 2017, half a billion? If you don't have the answer now, you don't have to fumble. you must give yourself a chance to go and get a reflection on this matter so that the strategy speaks to, there's consistency between the strategy itself, the project that you're talking about, and the funding model. I don't know whether you want to comment.
Yes, I can comment. The targets that we've indicated here are based on our analysis of say similar size countries and the type of budgets that they have in implementing their space program. I think that is why it is based on a percentage of GDP or a percentage of GBOD, for example. So this is primarily where these numbers come from. But I think also if we look at the public information available in terms of what it costs to develop, for instance, a satellite, this gives us some consistency. If we are looking at for example, the biggest gap we have at the moment in terms of data is high-resolution imagery. That's what we're paying a lot of money for. And therefore, if we were to look at what it would cost for South Africa to develop that capability, I think that will be adequately covered. What we can also do is to send you the breakdown of where we see this funding being applied, because remember, as in addition to developing the technology, we have to build the human capital in the country. We have to re-establish the infrastructure such as the whole tech facility. We have to increase the capacity at the satellite application center. They have focused on very specific business activities up to now, and for example, with the launching of Sumbandila SAT, they have to develop other capabilities that they never required in the past. So I think we will be able to send you a more detailed breakdown of where we anticipate this budget to be spent. On the issue of the bill being discussed in a vacuum, I think, Chair, we must indicate that the policy should actually have been finalized some time back. It's taken longer than it should have, but we understand the concern that you are raising. And when we first presented the idea of establishing the agency to Cabinet, this was at least 2 years ago. And during that time, we were also engaging with the respective government departments to get the policy developed in time for proposing the bill. Unfortunately, it has taken longer than it should have. But I think, at least from our understanding of why we need this capability in the country, we have no doubt that the policy will just re-emphasize the need to have the agency. We have also, as I indicated,
had to submit a business case to National Treasury, which is a requirement before we propose the bill. And in that business case, I think we have clearly indicated what the role of the agency would be and why it needs the budget that it needs.
Thank you very much. Any takers? I'll come back to Mr. Mobile just by the line, Mr. Dashi.
Mr. Chairman, I want to congratulate the ladies. You and I don't understand what business unusual is. But they have succeeded in explaining it extremely efficiently and extremely well. It seems to me they know what we're going to do in space long before the rest of us is able to realize it. And that's about all I can say. I think they've done a great job in putting together what we have experienced over the last few weeks as input. And I want to ask now the last three pages. We don't have copies of that.
Yes.
Can you let us have copies of that? And then the only mistake you've made is on that particular slide, the last third, fourth, no, the last. That slide that was there now, number 37, excludes. I think it's just a misspelling. Therefore, we say congratulations, you've done a good job.
Coming from Mr. Blanchet, I must say congratulations myself. Okay. Mamdouf.
Thanks to DFC. Thanks, Chairperson. Seeing that this strategy has not been taken to Cabinet, is it for now, for our eyes only? For now. And then, transitional provision. Chair, I'm almost as confused as you are, though you said they must contrain. We had the same physiology sort of when we were moving from the old 1962 Act to the TIA agency. Therefore, we had to have a transitional arrangement of things so that things from then go to CSIR in order to disestablish. Now, I'm sort of lost. It's why is that sentence or phrase there at all? Because this is a new agency, and that's it. That's it.
Thank you. And Lan?
I think, Chair, I must just indicate that we were actually surprised with the input from Centec. As you remember, the bill was gazetted last year in August or October. When we met with Centec, we tried to establish why they only brought the issue now, when they were obviously aware of the bill at the time. I'm not sure what the real reasons are, except we were told, they thought other people will comment on that bill. I think because we were only aware of this input only recently, we were trying to see how we can accommodate the inputs from Centec. In our initial reading of this clause, we really did not see it having an impact on either the electronics bill or the Centec bill, because I think our initial motivation for having this clause was to remove the current duplication that happens when it comes to the acquisition of satellite data, and that is why the primary function of the agency is to do the coordination, and therefore this clause was required to ensure that there isn't duplication of opportunities. I think in we're just discussing now whether in fact it's not possible just to have this loss in section 5.1d, and we'll have to relook at that again and see if it makes too much of a difference. The example that I was giving to Centec on where we have concerns with having general exclusions in the bill related to, for example, in the current microsatellite that we developed, DOC funded the development of a small communication payload that was put on Sumandila set. This payload will be able to transmit very low data rates, and DOC was looking at applications that will help with, for instance, tracking animals, that will help with transmitting short messages to communities that do not have access to communication infrastructure. And the reality is that with the improvements in technology and the agency's work in developing technological capabilities, we do anticipate that there will be those type of pilot projects continuing. And therefore, we need to allow the agency to build that capability. However, the focus on communication is not on communication services at all. For example, I looked at when we look at the categorization of space activities, the services that CENTEC is primarily concerned with, the one on direct home television, internet, data services, and transponder leasing. But you can see that there is some overlap in some of the things that we will do in remote sensing services and being able to ensure that we can get remote sense data to the users that require this data. You will have to have some mechanism of doing that, and therefore to some extent we cannot exclude the agency being able to use the technology that is being developed to send through remote sensing data, for example. But the primary activities of the agency will be in the first category, which is manufacturing industries, but with some activities in the service industry. I think only one.
Okay. I think we're finding ourselves in a tricky situation, and we should ask the members to assist us with this part. Because the problem is to accommodate what CENTEC is talking about, which is existing licenses and activities that they already involved with. We have to be able to show in the bill that they can continue with those activities. You would remember that when we were dealing with the TIA, bill, there were lots of stakeholders that came in to find out if they have to stop what they were doing now that there's a TIA. Even DTI agencies were coming to DST to find out if CIDA incubators are now going to fall under the agency. And without the regulations that spell out what will go under the agency, what will be regulated, what the powers, the exact powers are and functions of the agency, it's very difficult to try and accommodate CENTEC and tell them that actually, as Ms. Naropin was saying, we're not in services, but there is part of communication that we'll be dealing with, and to make that clear distinction in the bill. And we did not want to then take a stance in number five that gives a very general exclusion that is permanent. Because if you put it in five, it's a permanent exclusion. And the functions of the bill of the agency are to coordinate. And you're taking that away if you permanently excluding some of the activities that are affecting the agency. So I think we will need help in dealing with this, and that's why we made a proposal for transitional provisions, because we don't want to have this as a permanent exclusion for the agency.
Just before I give him that is now, I think we can help you, but our help might be very harsh to either one of you. that's how we say, maybe let's give you a chance until the next meeting between now and Friday to just confer and find each other. Because it's clear that Centec is fighting for its continued existence.
Yeah.
And it looks like you are hoping that, you know, this transition in your first draft was saying until the license expires. You see, so you were basically saying we're taking over that power from you after your license expires. You're out of business.
No.
Basically, you can read the, if you read the provisions, the initial draft, you've modified it and put it into transitional. It tastes a bit palatable there.
Yeah.
In transition, but you can't even defend the transition now. You see, that's why we're saying it's important. If we put it as it is in plus five, wherever we put it, or we put a clause that deals specifically with exclusionary provisions,
yeah,
that's something that you must consider.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and look into the implications. That's why it's important that you must talk to each other. I'm going to give Mr. Salau, but just before I do that, on a lighter note, also, you know, when you take us through space activities, you also start talking about animals transporting information to people. So it's okay, we'll engage you during tea about which animals are you. I was just thinking about the lions and.
I'm going to give an example of what I'm saying makes more sense.
It's all right. Let's leave the animals to the out of this. That's love.
Chairperson, thanks. So the more we talk about this bill, the more one struggles to find what we call the bill. And the role of the space agency. What are we talking, in the bill it states the issue, issues relating to coordination and support to the development of space and astronomy missions that are already in existence, I think. That's what it is.
Yes.
Now, that is the one role, the coordination of existing, which therefore says to you there is work already going on within the space technology sector or industry, whatever you want to call it, and the astronomy. And that must be coordinated by this agency. But there is also mention here about cooperation with the space and space-related agencies of other countries in the peaceful use and development of space. But then there is also now this issue about allowing those that are existing to be transitional. Now, that transition says then that this bill becomes a transitional bill. Because then the next bill will come that will now say, either it says you operate with the existing agencies or missions that are going on, and the role of the space agency on behalf of government to coordinate and to.
Whilst you're still on that point,
okay,
don't rub it in. You're rubbing it in this transitional provision to a point whereby I can see how these ladies are getting bashed now. So I'm just appealing to you to say, when it comes to the transitional period, let's leave them to go and confirm. Okay? And then so that when you come back, they are sober on that point. To all the members, just agree that the transitional matter will come back to. So that we don't...
Yes. But what I'm attempting... Actually, the transition is just one of the number of issues that I say the more we talk to the people, the more you get worried as to where do we place this thing in the middle of all these old arrangements that are in existence, and what is our future in respect to coordination, implementation, operation within the space sector as a whole, and not in isolation to a particular area. I know colleagues here are focusing in their own area of operation, which is space related to communication. So maybe that particular area will need to be clarified, Chairperson. I am not as diplomatic and as humorous as you are. I may lack the words to put it in a nicer way, but my apology to those that hear me badly.
No, you're doing well. The committee's balance, diplomat and non-diplomat.
Yes, sir.
I want to take some more,
but just before I do that, you see, the last time, if you remember, we said, can we just sketch this landscape or this spacescape for us, so that we know all the players and what they are doing and, you know, and so on. I think you've forgotten. But you can still come back, eh?
Yes.
You must read, there is a post office notice that says, Unifan Fakir Noin. So, you might just want to do that again, so that you also try and answer the question that Ntatislao is raising about the this whole space scape. Nina, is that correct? We've got landscape, there must be any space scape. All right. Ntate Mokol, I want to come back to you. Prof, I don't know whether you have anything, but no. Are you okay? I want to come back to you, Mr. Mokol. But just before that, you see, Infraco, you remember Infraco?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This broadband highway that is supposed to deal with certain issues. We also had similar type of concerns at the time as it relates to others, including Centec at some point. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure if you should understand that background.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want you to make Centec to feel bad, as if, you know, they should have come earlier, they come in late, and throwing the cat between the pigeons, I think, or among the pigeons. That's why we're here. So that if there are any people who did not participate in the public hearing, they should have an opportunity. Let's welcome it, rather than say, no, why did you talk to us? You see?
Yeah.
So you're not going to Centec, eh? Okay, all right, and so on. But let me take Mr. Mokol, and then we start to see how we summarize our way forward.
Chair, thank you. Chair, this issue is partly related to the first issue I raised, but if you could just focus on the PSMA and the proposal for it to be a Schedule 3A body. To unpack that, there was a reason given for that, but the implications of that for the type of organization that you become is important as well. And perhaps, Chair, if I can make a request, that perhaps at the next meeting on Friday, we have some sort of concept or draft organogram of what the agency could look like.
Okay.
We have it before us in text. I prefer pictures, and perhaps an organogram will make us understand what this animal could look like before we launch it into space. Especially with it would be a flat structure like a project-based organization should be. or not. And then what type of relationships it would enter into with, in particular, when it acquires, I think the terminology is used here, a body may have certain rights, duties, and responsibilities. But when it enters into the type of relationships envisaged in 5.2c, those relationships, how those relationships would be structured under the organogram, would they be project-specific type of relationships that would have some sort of finite relationship? Or do we establish these things and they become laws unto themselves, really, and just add another tentacle to the animal?
Okay. Please just get the response.
Okay, the Schedule 3A, I think the what we are looking at, and we've also discussed this with National Treasury to some extent, is the Schedule 3A, which will have some exemptions. The issues that you're raising with respect to, for instance, 5.2c, are some of the exemptions that will be applied to the agency. For example, the Satellite Application Center, which we have proposed to Cabinet that it becomes part of the agency, at the moment has some commercial activity where they assist other space agencies to track their satellites when they launch them, and also to receive data from those satellites, sometimes on behalf of these agencies. Those type of relationships are generally purely commercial, so there is some revenue that is generated, very little, but some revenue that's generated from that activity. And what we discussed, for instance, with National Treasury was that that kind of revenue could, for instance, be ring-fenced and only be applied for certain activities within the Satellite Application Center so that it doesn't impact on the rest of the activities that the agency does. So we will be looking at very specific exemptions that the agency will have. To some extent, the biggest limitation at this stage of having it as anything other than a Schedule 3A is, of course, the source of funding, because we currently have very low levels of funding applied to space science and technology. It would be almost impossible for the agency to start functioning if it were looking at if we were looking at it generating most of its revenue. What will happen is with time the agency will develop technologies. Some of these technologies could be transferred into, for instance, unrelated industries. Just looking at things like, for instance, you need materials that can withstand extremely high and extremely low temperatures when you put satellites in space. And if the agency is able to develop those type of materials, then they can be applied in other industries as well, and therefore that is why you need to allow it to sell technology at some point or enter into partnerships with private companies to commercialize some technologies, but this is not really the primary reason you're setting up the agency, but we are already anticipating that at some point it will have the ability to commercialize some of the technology that it develops. So I think as I indicated, really the key thing is the source of funding and in terms of the categorization, but we will have some activities that are strictly not for Schedule 3A, and those will be the necessary exemptions will be applied.
Thank you very much. I think we come into the closure of this matter, or towards the closure of this matter. What that means is that we're not meeting on Friday, we're meeting on the 17th. Okay. It's a long weekend, so you must go and rest. And prepare for June 16 activities on Monday. All the young ones who are here and those who were young in 1976, you must participate. Now, what we'll do and what we want you also to do is just to clarify the roadmap towards strategy and policy. Where do we stand with regards to that matter? We'll also engage the same matter because it's an uncomfortable situation in terms of the executive putting us in this type of situation. So we'll do that. And secondly, on the budget, you'll have to give us that analysis that you're talking about. Of similar size countries, their percentage. You'll have to send us that so that we can also just try and assist you to get things done as soon as possible. Similar GDPs, it's a percentage of GDPs.
Yeah.
But also, in terms of the funding that they gave in the strategy, they will give us the breakdown of that funding application as to how you arrived at those in the figures that you gave. You see, one thing that you might have to clarify as well, which was not raised, is the amount of license fees that we pay, whether we pay them per annum and to who. You gave us an astronomical figure the last time, and so on. They just see, so that we check also whether it would be cost effective to continue paying licenses or to do our own thing. And what we derive from those licenses. You see. Sometimes you pay license just to access data, but to the extent that we use that data as well. You see. We must be able to engage that. I'm not sure how confidential is the business case that you gave to Treasury. Check that. If it's not very confidential, then we might want to look at it. If it's very confidential, then you must just see how you deal with it without giving it to us, because there's an open meeting. you see, the one thing that at some point, I think that FundSpace and Subandila, Sumandila, it's a vendor word, I'm told, by that gentleman there. we might need to have an engagement between ourselves, yourselves, and FundSpace. I'm not wanting to call them to an open meeting like this, because you guys still have issues, or you have a lot of issues that I will not get into now. But it's important that we clear that matter. And when you draw up that spacescape, to just tell us where they play in that whole landscape. You also But this one, we have to work closely with the law advisors, the parliamentary law advisors, to start putting an amendment for us that takes some of these issues, just the initial one, so that, you know, we don't, when we come, we don't run around. We know exactly where the amendments are proposed, save for the transitional things that we spoke about. If you've got an agreement, you might want to include that as well. But do us that amendment. I'm talking to the state law advisors, the parliamentary law advisors. But work closely with you on that, so that we read from the same thing. We don't jump up and down.
Sure.
We see exactly where the amendments are proposed. And if they are by insertion of those amendments, any consequential amendments, that should also be taken into account, so that we start cleaning this thing. You see, I'm giving this thing next week. We might conclude it next week. If we can't conclude it next week, we'll have to have a meeting to conclude it. I just need 2 meetings to finish this one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But also, which takes into account the definitions that you have to clean up. So that's where I would want to end this. But also, taking that Mr. Blanchet has spoken for all of us, very impressed to see ladies in space doing so well, you see, trying. And you must update this thing.
Oh, yes.
To include what was not included, and clean it up, do the corrections that our Honorable Blanchet referred you to, some of them. Because, and this we must get at least by tomorrow.
Okay.
We are going to send these things to the stakeholders, this one. So it must be, we're going to send it to all the stakeholders who came here to say this is the response of the department.
Yeah.
You see? Not to call for other public hearings, but if they want to call me, they might. It will just be with a covering letter that says, these are some of the responses that we have received.
Okay.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
That brings me to the end of this process, this one. Good. Thank you very much. Before you leave, the next process is the NRF process. I'll take initial comments. The where I'm seated here, I don't have a quorum to take a decision. the two members who are going to join us are not here yet. And I'm not going to adjourn or postpone this meeting and come for an hour. We might have to do it next week, the same one. I can run around and get another member to come and vote. But this is just not a matter for voting. It's a matter that is the principal disagreement between the legislature and the executive in the essence of consultation in the appointment of boards. So we are going to treat it with the seriousness it deserves and do the right thing. Whilst I'm saying this, I don't want us to hold the appointment of the NRF board to ransom. We must do what we have to do, but also ensure that there is no disruption when it comes to the appointment of this board by the end of this month. So I'm just raising these matters, members, to check if there are any comments and close this meeting. If there are no comments, Mr. Blanchet, you look doubtful. You take.
I have no comments, Mr. Chairman. I just want to reiterate: it was one small step for man, one small step for women, but one big step for men.
Okay, Mr. Blanchet, thanks. Okay, you get in there.
I'm in the favor now.
You're in the favor.